Hi, I'm Shelley Irwin, host producer of The Shelley Irwin Show. Be careful what you wish for. Here to share, well, maybe a bit about me, but maybe even more a bit about the power of storytelling and obviously following your passions forever.
Welcome to Chatting Local, presented by the Discover Montcalm Podcast and DW Video. This special series takes you beyond Montcalm County, exploring the amazing people, attractions, and events from all across Michigan. With your host, Dwayne Weed.
Hello, and welcome to the Discover Montcalm Podcast, where today we're doing a Chatting Local segment where we're going outside of the county lines that we don't have fences around our counties. And as you heard at the beginning, Shelley Irwin is joining me, and I'm sure you might have heard her name a little bit around the area. She's been around, and I'm having fun with this one because she's not used to being on the other side of the mic, so to speak. Shelley, thank you for coming from Grand Rapids up here to Howard City and joining us today. You know, I know that you've interviewed maybe one or two people in your life.
A couple. Let's just say 5 days a week, five people each time. Do the math for 25 years. Yeah, it's a fun storytelling.
Well, and I'm looking forward to this because I always like to flip the tables. And it's like, okay, I've got some rough notes here, but I like to wing it as much as I can. So let's go back, way back. I know that you're a transplant. Where did you grow up?
You know, we can go deep or we can go easy. Growing up, born in Erie, Pennsylvania, where my parents actually are from Michigan, and they moved away. That was the first spot where I was born.
Okay.
Transferred, Dad was, to St. Louis as an elementary kid. Transferred again in sales. I guess when you're good, you get transferred. Mm-hmm. To Cincinnati, Ohio. And then high school on, we moved to a hobby farm in southern Indiana, and that's where the family still is. So high school on, college educated in Indiana until I moved for my first job.
And your first job took you where?
Savannah, Georgia, as a physical therapist.
Okay. So at what point did the storytelling, the radio, you know, the idea that Shelley goes, I think I want to tell other people's story. When did that come into your life?
You know, it probably came back to the form of, because we're also entertainment. We're also theater. So as a kid, I was in theater. As I was doing my first profession, I did theater and always wanted to be on the microphone in broadcasting, but didn't have those mentors. So I literally didn't have the opportunity to say, I think I can do this until my late 30s.
Okay. Okay.
So there we are.
So your first job in... Was your first job in radio?
It was. It was about 2.5 years for that that opportunity to happen. There was a boyfriend who broke up with me, which kind of made that, I think I'll move back. I was in Raleigh-Durham. Let's move back to Michigan where my brother was. Mm-hmm. Long story there. Did my physical therapy for a couple more years, and then I'm like, I want to chase that dream. So okay. 2.5 years included Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts, interning at WJR, which I guess you would consider my first job.
Okay.
And then progressing to producing 2.5 years at WJR as reporter, producer, and then 9/11 happens. I'm 41 years old. I need a real job. And here comes WGVU.
And that gets you into the Grand Rapids area.
Of December 2001.
Okay. So in 2001... Did it immediately start out as the Shelley Irwin Show?
It did not. I came on with the opportunity to be a producer / fill-in host.
Okay.
Of course, the fill-in host was nice, but I knew that this show called the WGVU Morning Show had already been in existence for probably at least 5 to 7 years under WGVU, which has certainly been around for a while, both radio and television. So I came in, quote, producing for the news director that was hosting four segments in those 2 hours. And then come March, he goes to vacation. Shelley, you get the show for a week. and that was wonderful. And okay. then by the end of the summer, it actually, let me take that back. I was actually given a television show to host that summer.
Okay.
And then basically a year later, it was time for Shelley to be the host of the WGVU morning show, which was a two-hour show, doing that for about 21 years.
Okay. And as you said, you could do the math earlier, five guests a show for 21 years, all this, blah, blah, blah.
I don't count.
You don't count.
I just look forward to the next one.
Well, and, you know, we're recording this in April. At the time of this recording, I have 178 episodes.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And it's growing. And I look back and go, wow. You know, but I'm like, okay, this year we'll have 200, and it just keeps going. And I haven't even touched on the possibility of what my little podcast can do within this county. And I find that to be exciting, you know, and the ability that there's all these stories, and if we turn the tables a little bit, storytelling, businesses today with social media and everything that's involved in social media today, they are all out there trying to tell their story. You know, they all try to have a social media page. They have a website that is telling their story. Do you have some basic tips for them? Let's get away from podcast and let's get away from that. What are some tips that you can give the average person that says, hey, if you're in business today, here's what you need to do, A, B, C, D, according to Shelley?
Yeah, ooh, that could be a book. You know, it does come down to storytelling. So what are the stories in your business? And obviously, you're going to want to lean toward the positive story. You'll see this in a lot of nonprofits in their annual letters. Young Jody was a foster child, and because of this such and such organization and the society that came to the table with time, talents, and treasure, she's now a CEO following her own passion. So what is the story of your business that will touch an audience,
mm-hmm.
Whether yourself had a challenge and because of hard work and passion, you are now the CEO or the CFO, or you hired someone that you gave a chance and that person is your lead sales. So it does come down to having two or three stories in your pocket that are truthful, that kind of touch at the human soul.
And then, I think you touched on that. It's the human factor. It's definitely the human factor that, you know, you can sell a widget and the widget solves a problem. You know, you have a problem solution, so the widget might solve it. But sometimes it's the human factor that people will buy from you because they connect with you. And what is that story?
It does come down to that. I know put on what's called the Shelley Irwin Fun Run now. This is our second annual. It will have come and gone April 25th, but a lot of our goals, because it's a fundraiser for WGVU Public Media, is talking to businesses about why one should sponsor. And it comes down to what's the story behind WGVU.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my name is on the run because that's part of my community, but why should we support this because of the stories that we can tell? So it does come down to what's your story and how can we relate to get me fired up or get you fired up?
I think every business has a why. What is your why? And I know that's hard. You know, sometimes, you know, some businesses have multiple whys.
The Discover Montcalm podcast thanks West Michigan Technology and Design Solutions, M1063 WGLM, DW Video, Blueberry Podcast Platform, and Business Growth Engine. Thank you for your support.
Getting back to your career, has there been out of all of the stories, and I'm kind of going to put you on the spot, you know, and this is going to kind of be fun, is there one story that sticks out in your mind that you went, wow, I still remember that story today?
There was a, and this is going to sound sad, because it was, there was a playground accident probably 10 years ago in Grand Rapids, where another child killed another child. And oh. I say accident, I guess I'm creeping too. And it obviously made news. But the grandmother of the child that was killed wrote a book on forgiveness. And so, and she was local, so I brought her in to talk about her book and why and how she forgave this other child and the family. I guess I was touched by that.
Right.
I was also touched by, occasionally I'll get these opportunities to interview national spokespersons, mostly on the phone, and they had provided one of the mothers of the two Columbine murders. Again, usually it's a very light show, but some, yeah. And I while I'm talking to her, you're thinking what this lady has been through, and now obviously she's at a point where she can talk about it. And those were the beginnings of, I hate to say it, but the world in which we live, where
right.
These things happen more frequently than like. And I was just multitasking, thinking, I'm interviewing this lady on, I think it was another book situation, but yet thinking I'm talking to someone who really has had some ups and downs.
Okay. Well, let's flip that a little bit. Is there been a funny moment in your career that you can think of that you went, either I can't believe they said that, or oh my goodness, that really happened? And maybe there's multiple ones of that, but is there one that sticks out in your mind, yeah, that you can share with us?
Well, sure. You know, I actually have two. One was on a television set, and another was when I was introducing a guest, mm-hmm, for an MC opportunity. And really, the one on the, I did Ask the Expert for a long time, where we would have a half-hour show, and you would be the expert on podcasts and, mm-hmm, maybe have a panel. But I had a guy come in with a small baby bear. Oh. I was not expecting literally a bear, okay, in the studio. Now, I'm not going to go with the bear got away or anything like that.
Right.
But actually, I will get to that.
Well, babies.
But a baby bear. In the studio, I'm okay, thinking this is surreal.
Okay.
And then let me segue into the Humane Society that came in on the radio with the cat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the cat got away in the studio and got behind this bookshelf that we had to have people help us, mm-hmm, physically remove part of the. So that was kind of an embarrassing. The cat got out of the bag.
Right. And right.
Then,
right.
And then I introduced the gentleman who wrote the book Marley and Me. Huge auditorium. He was there for a book signing, and they thought it would be cute for myself to go out in the introduction with a six-month-old golden retriever puppy,
mm-hmm,
which got away from me on the stage. So here I am in front of 400 people, being Shelley in her heels, and this. And I'm a dog person, but the dog got out of its collar.
Mm.
So you've got a dog running on stage. I'm doing an introduction. No one's coming to help. It was all solved well, but
do they have, yes, cell phone video of that?
That, you know, that was probably 10 years ago. That would have been a great blooper.
Well, you know, because nowadays everybody's got to get a phone out.
You know. You know, it probably was maybe even 15 years ago.
Okay, so maybe it was pre.
I don't even have a selfie of myself and the dog, which I would have done. So, you know, those are examples. Those are examples that are solved, but you do have to be flexible.
You do, and. You know, the nice thing about, I didn't come into this world thinking that I was going to do hosting. You know, I shared with you how I became the host, but I did not tell you exactly how I became the host. I became the host because I'm the cheapest host I could find for my podcast. I know how to use the equipment, and I'm cheap. And I figured I had a gift. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you, Dad, because he gave me the gift to be able to talk, walk up to anybody and talk. And that is something that I thought, well, I might as well use that gift. And that is something that I find fun because, like today, you know, like I said at the beginning, I find it interesting that I get to kind of flip the table on you. Mm-hmm. You have interviewed so many people. Now, is there anybody out there that you have not interviewed that you would like to interview
besides you?
Is there a bucket list? See, I have a bucket list person that has nothing to do with Discover.com, but there is a person that I would love to be sitting across the table from, and I have made a contact that I know can get me there, whether it will ever happen, but it's just a personal bucket list. Is there somebody that Shelley, and if you don't want to say it out loud, that's fine, but is there...
Yeah. Well, again, I've been lucky to interview mentors such as, you know, Diane Rehm sat across from me. I grew up watching, you know, Partridge Family and Brady Bunch. I had Peter in the house. I've interviewed Shirley Jones. I mean, those are light. But have I interviewed perhaps an astronaut?
Okay.
Actually, I have. There was a pretty famous one from Michigan. But look what's just happened with our astronauts going to the moon. How can I get Christine, who's from Grand Rapids, from Sparta,
right?
I think, specifically, how could I get her in studio?
You know, it's pretty simple. You start by asking.
There is a system.
I know there is, but you got to start by asking.
Yeah. I don't have a big interest in the president or the vice president, or I stay away from the political.
But I mean, author, a mentor, somebody that...
Well, like I say, I did the Diane Rehm, I've done Terry Gross, I've done that whole circuit. I guess I'm still working on that because I'm pretty blessed to be able to have a lot... I've done the Harlan Cobens and the Mary Higgins Clark and the, I'm dropping names, well, obviously, well, David Baldacci, but you're right. What is the person?
And it's got to be kind of fun. Now, has there any of the people that you have done so far, have you ever been kind of giddy and,
well,
you know, that type of thing?
I'll go back to, I mean, John Boy Walton. I mean, I had Richard Thomas in studio, and my childhood was... was a bunch of you know,
good because night, I John Boy.
Good night, John Boy, because I was a little actress. You know, I wanted to be on those shows. Mm-hmm. So here I am. Richard Thomas came down for, he was in one of the theatrical shows in Grand Rapids. I couldn't believe I'm sitting across from a Richard Thomas or Peter Brady. I mean, that sounds very elementary, but that was, if they only knew, Donny Osmond.
Sure.
I mean, he was on the phone, but it's like, if you only knew, I had all your, now I'm giving my age, which is fine, but I had all their posters up.
Yep.
And now I'm talking to this guy. So I guess the entertainment that's been
in
me.
And it's okay, because we were young.
Yeah.
And it's okay. That's our childhood.
Right.
That's...
So I can't tell you any heavy politician or anything that it's just...
But there's usually that person. You know, there's that.
Or, well, you know, the other gal that I was able to talk, the gal that was kidnapped. Oh, I can't remember her name. Remember she was, her family. She was in town, and I was able to spend some
Patricia?
One-on-one. Young gal. We'll have to let everybody figure out who that was, because I can't remember. But she was kidnapped and obviously taken, and then they found her a year later, and she's from Utah. And,
oh, okay.
Anyway, she was...
Okay, we'll let that one go
out. We'll let that go out. Bye-bye.
Yeah. But with that, let's kind of pull it back.
Yep.
Going getting to know you a little bit more. Who's the one person outside of your family that has influenced you the most and why?
Wow.
I love being able to turn.
Yeah, I know, because, well, what's nice is, in as a host, I don't, oftentimes I'll get the interviewee saying, I need the questions you're going to ask me. And sometimes I don't like to do that because they're either going to read their answers or they're going to be too scripted. So we didn't go that.
And my approach is we're sitting across the table having a cup of coffee.
Right, cherry flavored.
Yeah.
From Michigan.
You know, and that is because I want it to be more unscripted. So other than a family member, is there somebody that's influenced you the most and why?
Yeah. You know, this is a whole nother side, and it has an interesting ending, but I was athletic in high school. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, you always look up to your coach.
Right.
I don't think this has anything to do right now with the broadcast career, but I also am a triathlete and I race almost every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
See,
I only run when something's
okay,
chasing me.
Okay, chasing. Well, I run. I pay to run. That's okay. Not always a good thing. So I'll say Coach Merrill could have been that kind of wow, you know, almost intimidating, but also I tried to do my best for her, and I think we scored that. But now she is in the same memory care that my father is in Indiana. So how does that, you know, that's really bizarre. And this is all new. So it's like, oh, my gosh, is that Coach Merrill? Yes. Broadcasting-wise, you know, I studied the likes of Jane Pauley, Barbara Walters, Katie Couric, you know. Not that they were personal to
right.
me. And actually, Jane Pauley I would love to interview. And even in my own backyard at WJR, Ann Thomas was the producer. She was who I interned with on air on the weekends. This is like 1998, 99. And so she was a big influence as I began this next journey. Because, like I say, I kind of had a whole different life my first 30 years.
Well, one thing that I was thinking about when I asked you to come on here, and I wanted to kind of keep it more of a coffee table type of an approach, because I know that we could have gone down all your accolades, you know, because you have done a lot, you know, for the community, and you've done a lot. And I went, that's already done. Been there, done that.
I
you know,
agree.
Thank you for what you've done and what you continue to do for the area. But I like it to be fun. So
you're doing well.
You know what you run. Mm-hmm. You know, you have your dogs,
mm-hmm.
and you do that on your free time. So is there something about Shelley that you can share that most people don't know about you? That you can share.
Right.
Of course, you know.
That's right. No,
you know, it's not, you know, tell us your deepest darkest. No. I'm not that kind of a podcast. But is there something that you could open up and say, you know, this is something that's pretty cool that you know, maybe you don't know about me.
Oh, I don't know, but pretty cool, you know. I guess, you know, I'm a very active person and want to be in the, you know, still in the know, but I like to back off a bit on weekends. Mm-hmm. So if it's a Friday or Saturday night activity, I don't pursue that usually. I mean, yes, mostly because there's an athletic event on a Saturday or Sunday morning, but I try to kind of shut down on the weekends if I can.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably why I'll say yes to doing things on Wednesday and Thursday. And I also try to get people say, you must never sleep. Well, I do get a good 8 hours of sleep.
Well, it's good for the soul, you know, and, you know, you can be the 8 to 5, 8 to 10, whatever it is, type of busy, but, you know, you do have to have a social life. You know, you do have to have balance. Where give us some contact information about you. Where can they find your show? What are some of the socials they can find you on? You know, let's get into the contact you information here.
Just in case somebody wants an interview.
Oh, of course. Yes, because, and how far out do you bring guests in for the Shelley Irwin Show?
Yep. Well, I mean, I'm very old school. I have a calendar that I can write things in. I mean, if you have an event, if it's Wednesday and you have an event Friday, I may be a little tight.
Yep.
But if you need to be on Monday morning next week, I'm pretty open to working with.
So
with
are you the schedule. One that books the show?
Yes. Just,
so how do they contact you? Is there a phone number, email?
You know, best cut to the chase is irwinsh@gvsu.edu. Email is probably what I always have in front of me. With the role of social media, obviously that's available too. I'm an open book. My Facebook page is Shelley Irwin.
Okay.
And there's also the Shelley Irwin Show. I don't want to give too many because if you're driving, you're not writing these down. Right. Probably the best way is through the email irwinsh@gvsu.edu. Now, my Facebook page, I've got a maximum of friends, so we may not be able to be friends right away until I delete someone that I don't know.
Right.
But you can message me through.
But on the Shelley Irwin Show page, that's open.
That's open to all for followers and for messages, too.
And that one's probably up to date on who the guests were and that type of thing.
Yep.
So that's probably the one that people can follow more regularly.
I would think so.
You know, and that will be, for those of you that have been following the Discover.com podcast, that information is going to be up on the YouTube channel as well as on the Discover.com podcast.com page. So that information will be out there.
And we're going to get you on this summer. How's that?
That sounds great. I'd love to, let you talk, because I do find it fun to talk to people. And when you came here, we pre-COVID, I first met you over in Muskegon, where you were doing a lunch and learn. So it was nice to bring you back and then have this just conversation about storytelling and everything that you've been talking about. So to end it today, and other people do this, I didn't invent this. It's, it's that million-dollar question. Is there something that we haven't talked about that you'd like to leave the listeners with here today?
I think it comes back to follow your passion and keep it exciting as much as you can. Again, I was in a career that was stable and good paying, and not that I'm not stable and not good paying, but I also knew there was something else, and I had an opportunity to chase it. And I've been chasing a long time, still chasing, but after 25 years, maybe, my latest award is a legacy award. So now I'm starting to think, what does this legacy mean? It just means more to do, but also celebrate what you've been doing as you continue to add to your plate.
Well, Shelley, again, thank you so much for making the trip up to the studio here in Howard City. For those of you that have been listening, you can follow us at discovermontcompodcast.com. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, as well as Pandora, Apple Podcasts, and iHeart. You can Google Discover.com podcast and you can follow us. I was just doing some stats the other day, and last year in 2025, there was 900,000 hits on our little page. So follow us, share us. If you'd like to be a guest, get with me at 231-250-9624. 231-250-9624. My name's Dwayne, your host and producer. And remember to buy and shop locally. Thank you.
The Discover Montcalm podcast is produced by content creator Dwayne Weed at DW Video and Multimedia LLC at dwvideo.com or call 231-250-9624.